Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Hi, this is Goku from Dragon Ball Z, and you're listening to This Week We Reek.
Goku, it's not This Week We Reek. It's This Week in Geek.
I don't think so, King Kai. I'm pretty sure it's This Week We Reek. Have you ever smelled Mike or Steve?
Actually, I have, and I think you're right.
You're listening to This Week We Reek.
This Week We Reek.
I mean, This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and Steve Snowball Sailor on CRNC 90.1 FM, Niagara's new rock.
Rally spam fajitas.
You have the right to bear arms or the right to arm bears, whatever you want to do, I don't care.
But I get sunburned when I bear my arms.
In a world where Care Bears don't care no more.
Where apathy is now gone.
You're listening to This Week in Geek on 90.1 FM, The Heat, Niagara's new rock.
Hey there, geeks, geekettes, and cousinettes. Good morning to all of our fans. This is, of course, This Week in Geek, sponsored by ReliClear. Experience the evolution of communication. I am, of course, the host of all hosts, the whitest of all whitest, Steve Snowball Sailor.
Wow, Steve, I can't believe you just said that. Yes, you're listening to us on CRNC 90.1 FM, The Heat, Niagara's New Rock. I'm, of course, Mike, the Birdman Dodd.
It's the Tim Hortons coffee, man. That's all I'm saying.
It is. Thank you very much for that, Steve. So, Steve, how are you doing today?
I am doing caffeinated.
You're doing caffeinated. Now, this is the show we were supposed to do last week.
Yes. Our one-year freaking anniversary show.
Exactly.
It was good to go. We were all ready to go. I was already on my way here. And then Mother Nature decided to say, no, slow down.
Mother Nature gave you the finger. Basically, that's what happened.
Yes, Mother Nature was basically sent me to my room. And a very long time out.
It was quite tragic.
Yeah, it was
quite
tragic.
Now, off the top of the show, I do have to start off this with a somber note. A friend of mine, Gloria Hogan, used to be the host of Daytime Owen Sound and one of my coworkers for about a year, unfortunately passed away yesterday morning. So this broadcast is dedicated to Gloria Hogan's memory. You were an awesome person. I was very glad to work with you on Celebrate the County, Daytime, and many other Rogers projects. So...
my condolences to their family.
May you rest in peace, my friend. And, well, you did good, man. You did real good. So,
awesome. So
now with that...
how was your week?
Pleasant, Steve. Oh, right. I also have shout-outs to send off the top of the show today.
Okay. All right. All right.
A friend of mine who read my Facebook profile, and I owe this girl a dollar, Alexandria Love, thank you very much. If you're listening, and you better be... boot to the head. I'll figure a way to get you your doll. Actually, it's kind of funny. No, wait. I think she's from London or Brampton. I don't know. Either way, she's in Ontario.
See, Twig listeners, I have no idea what the heck he's talking about, so I'm just going to smile and nod.
Yeah, well, I actually have friends, Steve. No, I'm kidding.
smile and nod.
That's right.
Smile and nod.
Yeah, bones to you. Anyway, so anyway, yes, 1 year later, this is us.
Yes.
It's hard to believe we've made it this flipping far.
You know what? It's very interesting about this because I mentioned this in our last part of our last episode about Smallville. Technically, as of January 31st, January 31st, 2007, we started our show.
Mm-hmm.
January 31st, 2008, on our website, we hit 1 million hits.
That's right. We are easily the most listened to show on the station anyway.
Yes, that is true. And it's basically 1 million unique IPs. Like, think about it. 1 year later, 1 million hits later. That's kind of a really cool coincidence, don't you think?
I mean, that's like thousands a day when you break it down.
Yeah. Well, at least that.
Yeah. So, hey, thank you for making us kick ass and chew bubblegum, Twig listeners. We are very much appreciative.
Yeah. Now, do we have the...
Oh, yeah, yes, right. Okay. We are going to play a sample of what we sounded like last year, so I'm just going to let this roll for probably about a minute, minute and a half.
Yeah, so this is us, our very first show, January 31st, 2007, episode number one. Play it, Sam.
This is This Week in Geek, episode one with Steve Snowball Sailor and Mike the Birdman Don.
Yeah, very crappy.
This episode was recorded live on Wednesday, January 31st, 2007.
I recorded it on my iBook, actually.
On Niagara's 90.1 FM.
It's like almost like a running commentary of our...
program is closed.
Okay. Oh, yes, this is our very old intro, remember?
Can I just keep this playing?
In the background, yeah, we can do that. Just at least until we get to the actual
Not
good part.
Not really. This is just us ad-libbing.
You remember when we actually were in the booth and radio recording all these
Son
extra
of Jarell,
outro promo
die.
Stuff?
I do. And I actually kind of miss...
Have you seen
I actually miss this intro.
Times.
I know. I do, too. It was
good.
Yeah.
So we will let this play. We'll give you commentary in about 1 minute. So here's the first minute of last year. The new heat.
Hello, everyone out there in geekdom. This is, of course, This Week in Geek. We're sitting here in the Fishbowl in Welland, Ontario, Canada on 90.1 FM, The New Heat. And we are sitting on top of 1.21 gigawatts of transmitter power. And if you got that reference, you definitely are on the right show. I am, of course, Steve Snowball Sailor.
And I am, of course, Mike the Birdman Dodd of Welland, Ontario.
This is going to be a show for you guys who are out there that you, if you love comic books, if you love movies, if you love TV shows, this is the show for you. We're going to talk about everything that's going on in the news this week, obviously for This Week in Geek, as well as we're going to basically go over every single topic known to man is, in the geek universe. We're going to cover stuff like video games. We're going to cover stuff like movies coming up, comic books, trade paperbacks, you name it, we're going to talk about it. Also, if you would like to be able to have suggestions for our show that people we can be able to talk about, we have a website up and running. You can go to thisweekingeek.net to be able to go through all that for all that details. And why don't you tell me about the MySpace?
Oh, of course. And the MySpace page, well, I've kind of ignored. So.
Yeah, we both kind of ignored. Actually, I deleted my MySpace account. Yeah.
Oh yeah, wasn't there like a delete your MySpace day?
Yeah, it was January 30th. I just like, you know what? What the hell?
You know what? MySpace sucks anyway.
Yeah, Facebook is. Well, I don't say where it's at, but it's at least better.
It owns.
It noobs pones.
It does noob pones.
Now, what do you think of that? Listening to us a year later. Are we the thing is, we're a year older, but are we any wiser?
I think so. Actually, it was kind of funny. I was actually listening to that for technical things. Man, yeah. I took a lot of really sharp breaths, and so did you.
Yes, I did. We definitely have learned quite a bit in our year of broadcasting this show.
Absolutely. One of the things we've learned is the value of teamwork. Now, what we're going to talk about right now is I'm going to throw to the Double D Rants.
Okay.
And we will...
I was hoping it was going to be something else, but I hear that there's this new Double D Rant that I don't even know about.
Exactly. This is the new secret Double D Rant. We'll be back right after this. So, enjoy.
Okay. Hey, guys. For this rant, I'm going to be talking about something that's happened to me recently, and that's my dad's retirement. Let me tell you, retirement may sound like fun, but it's not. Well, maybe it is to the guy retired, but to everyone else... It's not. I mean, he's at home all the time. He's at home. I can't take it. Just give me a second. Orange pop.
What are you doing? You have an illegal pop, neighbor.
What? No!
You're going to die now! Boy, boy. Hello everyone, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger here, and I am here to talk to you about illegal pop flavors. As you know, this problem has been plaguing the nation for far too long, and I have been able to use Double D's rant to not only kill him, but as an example to everyone in the world, don't use illegal pop flavors, or I will terminate you! This is a total recall of all the pop flavors in America.
And that is Double D for you. That man is a comedic genius. I'm not even kidding.
I'm serious. If we do not release a CD of him soon, I am going to flip.
You're going to flip?
I'm going to flip.
You're going to flip. So, yes, that was David Double D Dennis, one of the Twig interns. Great guy, wonderful voice actor, wonderful voice talent, actually. So
yeah, he definitely has come along as far as his voices. I mean, obviously, the SpongeBob one, the last time we were on air, that was incredible.
That was brilliant.
It truly was. Yeah.
In fact, that's probably going into the Graffiti Award demo reel.
You think so?
I think so. I think it's one of the strongest aspects of our show.
Yeah, I'd have to say if we're going to grab a Double D rant, yeah, that one would have to be the best.
Exactly. Or him rapping about Batman.
Oh, that one. That
Every
one was
Batman
genius.
Movie's got a game. They're all the same. Kind of lame. That was incredible. Yes, folks, I promise to never rap again. I'm sorry.
You're not black. You're almost there.
Exactly. I'm mocha.
You're mocha. You have a little bit of black in you.
Exactly. So anyway, we're going to take a break here on This Week in Geek. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to go into Steve's tech news, and we're going to have a little bit of a blast to the past to play the games that suck anyway.
Right.
We are going to go out with a little bit of Rush, a little bit of YYZ. This Week in Geek, now with more CanCon.
This is going out to Sean Schimmel.
That's right. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with Steve Snowball Sailor here on 90.1 FM, The Heat, Niagara's New Rock, and we'll be right back.
Hi, where are you?
I'm home, why?
Gosh, you sound like you're right next door. Not on the other side of the country.
I know, I just got ReliaClear. Listen.
Starting at just $14.99 a month, ReliaClear gives you crystal clear service with unlimited calling anywhere in Canada. Switch to ReliaClear today and start saving on your home phone. See ReliaClear.com for details.
Did he just say unlimited calling?
Yep, hope you're comfortable. This could be a long one.
That's ReliaClear.com. Experience the evolution of communications.
In this week's edition of Niagara News, brave the belly-busting burger for charity as Empty Bellies throws out the challenge. After Hours takes a hit as number of attendees decline. Woo-woo, Webster's announces the word of the year. Ontario gives students a break for Family Day. And Learn It, Live It, Love It, graduation is right around the corner. You can pick up your free copy of the Niagara News around the halls of Niagara College.
What's going on, G1s? This is Stuttering Craig from ScrewAttack.com, and you are listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and Steve Snowball Sailor. Those guys are awesome.
Saying Geddy Lee, wow. This is the course This Week in Geek. I'm Steve Snowball Sailor.
I'm, of course, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and welcome back. Yes, you're listening to This Week in Geek on Niagara's New Rock.
Yay!
The heats.
Really?
The hottest heat of hot.
The hottest heat of hot. It's 25 degrees hotter.
Than the old heat,
right.
That's right. So, yes, we are back celebrating 1 year with everybody on here. You people don't suck. Thank you very much.
We have to definitely give a major thank you to all our loyal listeners who have been with us from the beginning. It's been a wonderful ride. We're not even close to being done yet.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Stay tuned. Right.
Word, noobs.
Word.
But no, it has been a great trip. We've done so many things this year. And in 1 year, we've done so much. And we're going to continue going for the rest of this year, kicking some major ass.
That's right.
And honestly, I'm very thankful for all the opportunities I've had. In fact, yesterday, I got to speak to one of my favorite directors of all time. Director Charles Band, the guy that did Subspecies, Trancers, Puppet Master, over 200 movies, a Lloyd Kaufman-esque
B-movie director. I didn't know about this.
Well, this is a project for Ron Tuft's class.
Oh, right.
And we're going to do a Twig Roundtable with Pierce because we're both B-movie people, so it's going to be pretty cool.
Awesome.
And this weekend I'll be speaking to Arnie Carvello of Star Wars Action News.com fame, doing a feature on action figure collecting, which will likely get played here on Twig anyway, at least as filler.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So, yeah, it will be a rather good thing. It will be fun.
It will be good.
It will be very good.
Very good.
So, yes. So, without further ado...
I hear my new jingle. That must mean, yes, of course, it is Twig News. Our first story up for bids. The WGA strike is over, ?
Hell yeah.
I hope so. Well, according to Michael Eisner, former CEO of Walt Disney Company, the strike is over.
Really?
Yes. Now, he actually went on Fast Money, which is on CNBC, last night. This is brand new. This is news. And if you're hearing this today live, you haven't even probably heard about this yet.
Mm-hmm.
According to Eisner, he says, quote, "It's over. They made the deal. They shook hands on the deal. It's going on Saturday to the writers in general." Now, the reason why I say question mark at the beginning of this headline of the story is the writers haven't officially accepted the deal yet. It's supposed to go out Saturday, which is technically tomorrow, to the writers to see if they're going to take the deal. However, according to kind of Weisner, who has this kind of somewhat back-channel friends, contacts, have you, he says it's a deal. It's done. It's completed. So it looks like the WGA strike is officially over.
So when do things start to get back into production, though?
It may have been already shot for this season.
Which kind of sucks. So we're stuck with reruns and reality TV? Yeah. Or is that
pretty much reruns and reality TV and kind of the remnants of pre-strike episodes of our favorite shows. So...
hey, as long as I see the Sarah Connor Chronicles, I really don't care.
I like that show.
That show's awesome.
That has to be, post-strike, the best show I have seen. Like, and the thing is, it's very sad. My television viewing week has dropped down considerably. It used to be at least 2 to 3 shows a night that I would try to be able to watch as best I can, or at least, you know.
Wow, you have time to watch TV? I wish I had your schedule.
TV, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm stuck on CP24 and the Weather Network. Anyway,
yeah,
go on.
I know. But as far as post-strike, the only shows that I actually have been able to catch on TV is either American Gladiators, Celebrity Apprentice, or the Sarah Connor Chronicles. And sometimes House, Smallville, or Supernatural, if and when they ever actually get episodes on the air.
I make time for one show a week.
Sarah Connor Chronicles?
That's it. Well, now it'll be Big Brother, but...
yes, Big Brother, because that starts, what, 16th?
Next Tuesday, February 12th.
February 12th, right. Okay, so... and obviously Survivor started this week, too. Yeah, my mom makes it a huge deal in my house. Basically, it's kind of funny. It used to be that my parents would watch Survivor every night it was on, but now, not like it pretty much everyone's gone Thursday nights, mm-hmm. except my mom, so she's watching it all by herself, so I kind of feel bad for her.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah, but anyway... now, the thing is about the writer's strike, I've been kind of following along with this throughout this entire thing. It's actually going into its 15th week.
That's insane. I mean,
yeah,
really,
it's actually almost 90 days. So 3 months this thing has been going on for. I'm not fully convinced that the AMPTP is fully to blame for all this.
Now, what the hell does that acronym stand for?
AMPTP is Association of Motion Pictures Television Producers.
Try saying that 10 times fast.
I can't. I've tried.
All right, then.
My tongue gets, you know, twisted and bloody, and it's not fun.
Moving on.
Yeah, it's Gene Simmons style. Anyway, basically, they have been, obviously, they're the ones that kind of started this whole thing. The WGA is like, the strike is like, you know what, we're against the producers or whatever. They're not giving us our due. The thing is, though, I have to agree somewhat with the AMPTP in the fact that a lot of the strike rided on the fact of internet residuals.
Yeah.
Writers weren't getting paid anything for internet stuff.
Yeah, they got kind of hosed.
They got kind of hosed. And I do agree that they should obviously get a piece of that pie. However, internet residuals have not gotten to the point where they're at least that profitable to be able to share the pie.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think the writers deserve something, and internet residuals, I mean, I don't know. I do like the fact that you can watch shows on the internet now, like from the website. But they should be getting something out of that.
They should be getting something. I do agree.
Like, I don't know. Give them like a gift basket. I don't care.
I do agree. And that's what the writers are striking about. They want to at least have something so that they can be able to come back later. Now, supposedly, this stems back to the 80s when obviously they had the first strike mm-hmm. over VHS, home video.
Yeah.
They were received 4 cents per VHS, whatever sold. That's how much the writers were getting. Now, they basically kicked themselves in the pants for that for years. They've been always trying to bring up residuals for DVDs or whatever. For the past, every single time that they've renegotiated their contracts, they've always had to bring that up, but they've never been able to bring that up. And the former president of the WGA made sure they tried to play nice with the producers so that they can be able to at least keep the writers working.
Yeah.
This – basically, this last straw, this contract negotiation was the last straw for the writers. They wanted to basically get it now. They wanted to get their residuals done and over with and finished so they can be able to move on from the 4 cents paltry deal that they made back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Thing is, though, they should have done what the Directors Guild did. Directors Guild actually had the same kind of contract negotiations, and they had been working for months prior to the ending date of their contracts, working with back channel negotiations and going to the table and stuff like that to try to figure out a deal before the actual date. So when they would go in to negotiate, it was done within
something.
A day. They had something. It was done within a day. Everything was signed. New contract done and over with.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what the writer strike should have done. They waited to the last minute to be able to say, you know what? Now we're going to the table and we're not going to. And that's why the cause of the strike has lasted so long.
Wow.
So it's kind of hit or miss as far as whether to, I support. I mean, here this week we support the writers because obviously without them
we have nothing to watch.
We have nothing to watch, and we have no good TV shows to talk about.
Which is why we're going back and recycling old ideas because there's nothing new happening.
Right. So, but I do have to at least sympathize with the producers to a certain degree because I mean I know it's been tough for any show. The only good shows I've seen that has happened since then is obviously when the late night shows came back. Conan O'Brien obviously did a really, really good job post-strike. He's done amazingly well. Same with Jon Stewart and Colbert. So anyway, that's pretty much at the WGA. So hopefully by this Saturday we can officially say the WGA strike is over. We can finally get back to possibly getting our seasons of our shows back up and running.
Exactly. So what is next up for bid, Steve?
Next is Heath Ledger died of accidental overdose. Basically, obviously we reported last time. Obviously, the very tragic death of Heath Ledger died in his apartment, in his bed. No one knew how he died.
Now, there's an interesting rumor to this I heard. I'm not sure. I think I read this on TMZ.com, so my source is questionable at best.
Okay.
That Heath Ledger locked himself in a hotel room earlier this year and got himself into the character of the Joker and kept a character journal written as the Joker.
I didn't hear about this character journal, but I do believe you, as far as TMZ says, that I can see that happening as far as him trying to get into character because
did
I know
he
that
drive himself insane?
I think he might have because this really, really affected him. If you like, I'm going to read you what basically this is what the Examiner reported as far as his autopsy is concerned.
Yeah,
he died as the result of acute intoxication by the combined effects of oxycodone, hydrocodone, diazepam, Temzepam, I'm basically butchering these names, Iazepam, and Dioxazine. Basically, they're generic names for drugs often marketed for brand name painkillers, Oxycontin and Vicodin, the anti-anxiety medications Valium and Xanax, the sleep aid Restoril, and the sedating antihistamine sleep aid Unisom. So basically, the combination of all those pills that he had in his system caused his death.
Yeah.
Which I can see that. Obviously, anxiety pills could have been from his stress over the character of the Joker because that must have messed with his mind.
Well, yeah, that and before that he was playing Bob Dylan in a movie at one point.
I don't remember
the name of the movie. Yeah, he was because he played Bob Dylan in a biopic at one stage in his life. If you double check it, trust me, it's there. And then
one stage of his life. Okay, I'm probably thinking the most recent one. I don't think he was in that one.
Yeah, he was.
No, because I remember that Cate Blanchett was in it. Christian Bale was in it.
Double check it.
I will double check it when we go on break, but because I don't have time to do it now. What are you talking about? Anyway, so obviously his death is being declared as an accidental overdose, which is very, very sad. It's sad that it happened. I'm glad to say that he wasn't at least killed or murdered, so yeah. I'm happy about that. But it is still sad to see him go, and obviously our hearts and prayers still go out to the Ledger family, including his ex-wife, Michelle Williams, and
his young daughter.
Now,
there's supposed to be a private funeral service held on his favorite beach either today or next Friday.
I believe it's in Perth, Australia.
Yeah, Perth, Australia. And so, yeah, well, it's sad to see him go, but what can you
and
do?
And it's also going to be very surreal seeing him on screen The Dark Knight in July 18th when it comes out. And the fact that that's his last movie.
Yeah, well, technically not, if you count the Dr. Pegaris as well, what the hell it's called.
They had to be recast, so...
Are you sure about that?
As far as I know, they had to actually recast him because he was only able to he was barely able to finish half the movie.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I read some of my information from ain'titcoolnews.com, comingsoon.net.
Yeah, so. Supposedly Johnny Depp was up for that, is up for the replacement role, part of that role. So, it could be that The Dark Knight is definitely his last movie, but it could be that Doctor movie also as well.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway, moving
Steve,
on.
Steve, you got about a minute really fast.
Okay. This is very quick. William Arnett out, Val Kilmer in Knight Rider.
Oh yes, I just read about this story this morning.
Yes.
Because Arnett's the voice of GMC.
GM. He's the voice of GM Motors for obviously their commercials. They do a lot of different commercials with William Arnett playing the voice of different cars. And because Ford obviously supplied the Mustang for the new kit car in Knight Rider, he already recorded all his lines. Will Arnett already recorded it, but Ford found out, GM found out and said couldn't do it. They wanted him out, and so now Val Kilmer is the voice of the new kit.
See, they should have brought back Mr. Flippin' Feeney.
That's what they should have done from the freaking beginning.
But no.
No, they decided not to go with the tried and true classic and go with Batman
Redux.
Redux, yes.
Anyway, you're listening to This Week in Geek. I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with Steve Snowball Sailor. We'll be right back after these.
Quality. A simple concept, but not as common as it used to be. At Base Electronics, they still believe in quality. Base Electronics has name brand quality products for home and car at competitive prices. Brands like Yamaha, Pioneer, JVC, Kenwood, Clarion, Sirius, XM, and many more. Quality brands for home, quality brands for cars. From Base Electronics in the MT Bellies Plaza, 871 Niagara Street in Welland.
Having a quiet Sunday night?
Could you turn that down just a little bit?
Well, I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
Then knock it up a notch with the most kick-ass mix of punk, ska, and hardcore on Punk the Dial, right here on 90.1 FM.
That is a great idea.
We've got new music from all your favorite artists, B-sides, news, concert listings, contests, and exclusive interviews. So catch Punk the Dial with your host, Pierce Dirt, Sunday nights at 7, proving that punk rock won't stay dead.
Welcome back to This Week in Geek. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, and what we're hearing right now is Pain for Pleasure, Sum 41. Before that, we heard a little bit of Corey Hart with I Wear My Sunglasses at Night, and I know I do.
Yeah, I know you do, too.
I'm just that cool. I'm like Albert Wesker from Resident Evil, but not the stupid one from Resident Evil Extinction.
Right, exactly.
What a loser.
Tune into our Resident Evil roundtable for all the great, or not-so-great, bashing of the Resident Evil franchise. Moving on, I'm, of course, Steve Snowball Sailor, and shall we continue on with the news, sir?
Yes, we shall.
All right. Tech news up for grabs. Microsoft bid for Yahoo!
Oh, yeah. Now, I actually heard this, I think, on NBC Money.
Yes.
That Microsoft has to borrow money for this.
Yes, I will actually get into that in just a sec. Supposedly, the software giant Microsoft goes public with $44.6 billion. I say with a pinky raised to my lips.
Oh, God.
For the NetBinary, will Yahoo succumb to the advances or rebuff Microsoft as it has before? Wow, mm-hmm. That was very dramatic. Anyway,
yes. You scare me, man.
Now, we were going to report, actually, as of our last episode, that Yahoo actually had to lay off a lot of people, a lot of employees, basically up to 1,000 people they had to lay off because Yahoo isn't exactly doing so well.
Yahoo kind of sucks. I don't even use the program anymore.
The only thing that I use as far as Yahoo is
porn.
Flickr.
What? Oh, Flickr! I thought you were serious. Like, wow, Steve Snowball Sailor getting a little bit of X-rated there. That's awesome.
No, Flickr, the photo sharing site. Flickr, it was bought by Yahoo, okay?
I still stand by my previous statement of pornography.
I know you stand by that previous statement because, well, that's just you. But anyway, now, yes, that is true. Actually, Microsoft has reportedly been said that they actually have to borrow money. According to their information that I've received from, obviously, my friends over at This Week in Tech, as well as Mac Break Weekly, basically Leo Laporte's podcast network,
yeah.
twit.tv. Supposedly, they have about $30 billion cash on hand, which is a
in
lot.
Suitcases or crates or hockey bags?
I don't know. It, either or. Take your pick. In Bill Gates' pants. I don't know.
I will take a hockey bag full of money.
I don't know. If it's in Bill Gates' wallet, if he actually has a $30 billion bill.
Can you imagine him with a debit card? If he tries to take money out of an ATM?
I don't even think he does, because seriously, what the limits? I think, like, what's the absolute limit he can be able to take out of an ATM?
I think it's like $500 a day.
It's like, I would like to take out $1 million, please.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine his bank statement. Just look at the end. Like the machine would run out of ink for all these zeros.
Exactly. Now, the thing is, though, obviously, with the $30 billion cash on hand, a lot of companies have to do that. Apple also has a reportedly amount $18 billion cash on hand. So for in the case that if, for whatever reason, their stocks kind of go down and they're getting a lot of acquisition bids, they can basically buy themselves out.
That's
it's supposedly
good.
A good idea for having cash on hand for emergency use.
Just in case.
Yeah. Now, Microsoft is really going to town as far as trying to be able to bid for Yahoo for $44.6 billion. Yahoo has yet to accept the offer. However, Google is nipping at Yahoo's heels as well. Basically, a lot of people have been suggesting, including Google. Google actually released something on their blog recently. If you read it, you can go over to the Google's blog. Link is in the show notes. They kind of have a whiny post. Like a whiny post in the fact that, you know, we're kind of like the underdogs again. We're trying to bid for basically a big deal, trying to get Yahoo. So so the thing is, a lot of people are saying that basically what Google will do is they'll keep the search end of things and just bring on everything else that Yahoo has, which is a good idea.
It's a very good idea.
It basically will kill Microsoft's any chances that they have of trying to get online.
Now, so you know what else is a good idea?
What?
Looking at your watch, because it's currently 10 o'clock.
Oh, nice.
Exactly. Great. You're listening to This Week in Geek. In fact, I won't even tell you. In fact, we'll have a very special friend tell you. Here we go.
You're listening to This Week We Reek with Mike E. Honda Dodd and Steve Film Negative Sailor on CRNC 90.1 FM, Niagara's new rock.
Cool. I'm a film term.
You are, and I am E. Honda from Street Fighter. Yes, that's our friend Sean Shamwell giving us station IDs. I decided it would be better than me going, Niagara's new rock, the heat, the hottest heat of hot.
So anyway, if you want to be able to know more information, all the updated news you want to know, go to CNET's site at news.com, and we have a link in the show notes for Microsoft's big bid for Yahoo. They have all this news stories you want to know about that. Now, lastly, speaking of Google, I kind of want to bring this up as kind of like a small little thing that I found in my little searching for news.
That's not all you were looking for. Go on.
Well, no, but I found something really odd. Now, Mike, I'm going to ask you, have you heard of the term Google whack?
Sounds kind of hot, dude.
Damn you, Mike. Don't.
Guess what I... Never mind. Anyway, yeah, what's up?
Okay, Google whack is supposedly the term used for if you put in a combination of two words into Google search term that only one result will actually come up. Now, I found this out thanks to my friends once again at Mac Break Weekly. They talked about this. Supposedly there's an author named David Gorman who actually wrote a book called The Google Whack Adventure. And his goal was to be able to try to find all the Google whacks he could find and go to the site that actually had those words and actually go to the person's place of residence and talk about their nightlife story.
Oh,
and he wrote
creepy.
A book about it. So it's kind of weird. Now, the thing is, there's some awesome, awesome Google whacks. I mean, I'm just going to tell you the few of them. Now, obviously, if you go to googlewhack.com, that's where you can be able to find all this information. I'm going to read you some of these two-word combinations. Ambidextrous scallywags.
Illuminatus Ombudsman, Squirreling Dervishes, Assonant Oxyllable, Fetishized Armadillo, or Fetished Armadillo, sorry, Panfish Interrogation.
You know what's awesome? I've actually used three of those first three terms. I actually have used.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm pretty screwed up.
Well, yeah, I just thought it was kind of weird. They just have these weird things, and then supposedly, I don't know, I've never heard of this term before until just the other day, and I was like, I have to look for more of these, and I have been able to find at least some of them according to this site, and basically I just did a search, and yes, there is some of them that actually has only one link result.
That is unbelievably screwed up.
So, anyway, I just thought I'd kind of let you go out there. Check out googlewhack.com for more information. That's googlewhack, W-G-H-A-C-K.
So, with that out of the way, and you and your Google whacking whatevers,
yes,
we're going to jump into our time machine. Go take a blast of the past. Not really. In fact, what we're doing is we're doing
A tribute.
A redux, as we said off the top of the show.
Yes.
We're going to look ahead to the year in movies.
Yes. Now, we started off, obviously, our very first show with the geek movies that are coming up for 2007. Well, we thought for our anniversary show, might as well go back and see what
coming up for this year.
For 2008. And we have some really, really, really good ones this year.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, the first one we're going to talk about is actually coming up next week. Diary of the Dead.
Oh, my Lord, George Romero, you are God. I love George Romero. I actually, Pierce the Punk Jerks, met him this year at the FanX.
Yes, got a picture of him, which is awesome.
Which is on our website, I think, or it used to be up on the fishbowl before it was taken down, those rat bastards. Anyway, I'm not sure if I can say
Do
that.
Do you know who actually won that contest?
Who?
No, I'm asking you, who actually won?
Orange and Rockland wants everyone to know what to do if they smell gas. Here are some ways to detect a natural gas leak at home or in a public place. Be suspicious of a rotten egg smell or a whistling or hissing sound. If you do smell gas, leave the area immediately. Never light a match, use your cell phone, or turn on the lights. When you're safe, call 911 or ONR's Gas Emergency Hotline at 1-800-533-LEAK. Visit oru.com/gassafety for more tips. Orange and Rockland, everything matters.
The internet can be your window to the world. Or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.
Jesus?
Really?
Yeah.
Jordan won?
Yeah. Exactly. Our Lord and Savior. No, actually, I think the Angry Video Game Nerd actually entered that contest. James Rawls.
Really?
I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm pretty sure. If anybody from... Oh, yeah, that reminds me.
What?
I forgot to tell our listeners of Twigdom. Yeah, I'm officially G1 of the Year from ScrewAttack.com.
That's right. You are. Congratulations, sir.
Yeah,
You scarred your body for life.
That's right. And own noobs.
That's the devotion you have to ScrewAttack.com. I don't even have that devotion to...
anything. That's right.
Well, I wouldn't scar my body for something like that.
Because you suck. Well, anyway, going on.
I wouldn't brand a Twit logo or a Twig logo on my chest.
Hey, speaking of Twits, there's one out there. It's your favorite person. Take a guess.
Let's move on.
We really should. Anyway,
all right, so anyway,
folks.
Diary of the Dead is...
Diary of the Dead, it's basically a re-envisioning of the franchise of Night of the Living Dead, or more like a modern retelling. So basically it follows this crew, they're making a really stupid monster movie about a mummy, and the events of Night of the Living Dead start to happen, basically people start coming back, and there was an exclusive clip on, I want to say Crave Online or BloodyDisgusting.com, one of them, and it shows this news crew doing this ENG about a murder-suicide.
Yes.
And the bodies just get up and start attacking the paramedics.
Cool.
And I've read some of the reviews on this. Some are positive, some aren't.
Yeah.
But I've been waiting so long for a new Dead movie, because Land of the Dead, yeah, it was cool, but it wasn't... I don't know. It was Romero, but it wasn't classic.
He was mainly Romero producer, more so than director.
Well, I wouldn't even say that, because he did direct it,
yeah,
I think.
But he had to have his producer hat on as far as...
It was also... because the great thing about Night of the Living Dead movies is they're great social commentary.
Yeah.
And this is the post 9/11 commentary. Now, the Diary of the Dead takes a new slant on that, and basically this takes a shot at the YouTube generation.
Yes. This obviously is kind of nipping on the heels of, or heels, I should say, of, what the hell is heels? I don't know. Of Cloverfield. Obviously, this is the
Yeah, it's Cloverfield with zombies.
Cloverfield with zombies. And a lot of people thought that they kind of ripped off the idea of Diary of the Dead, and George Romero was kind of upset about that. That's kind of speculation. Now, this is obviously the fifth movie of the Dead series,
yep.
Of Romero series. So I'm actually, you know what? In a way, I'm kind of looking forward to it. It's an interesting concept. Yeah. Obviously, Blair Witch Project, the kind of the precursor to all this kind of amateur film kind of style thing,
yeah,
was a great success. I wouldn't blame it. Not greatest movie, but great success.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. So I am looking forward to this. I may actually go out and see this movie if it comes out to the theaters around here. I think it's only limited releases.
I am willing to make the trek across the border. I'm willing to make the trek to Toronto to see this. It's on Valentine's Day weekend. I have an ENG to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to put that off for Diary of the Dead.
Yeah.
That is dedication. I love George Romero's movies. This stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
And he's not just a zombie guy. He did movies like Monkey Shines. He did The Dark Half, I think.
Right.
And other movies like that. So he's not just a one-trick pony. He also did a movie a couple years ago called Bruiser.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. So, Diary of the Dead, definitely check it out. Mm-hmm. Cloverfield with zombies, but they're zombies. Everybody loves zombies. And these aren't these whiny, running zombies of 28 Days Later fame. And thank you, Danny Boyle, for giving us that debacle. But whatever.
Yeah.
Moving right along,
yes. Actually, speaking of zombies, we're going to talk about the zombies in front of the slot machines with the movie 21.
Oh, yeah.
Releasing on March 28th, 21 is actually a story based off of the MIT book that was actually bringing down the house. And it's actually supposed to be six MIT students in a blackjack team trained to become experts in card counting and successfully take Vegas casinos for millions in winnings. Obviously, however, casino workers become suspicious and attempt to take down the team using any means necessary. Now, this is based on a true story.
You see, I don't get what it is about card counting. If you're just that good at math, mm-hmm. why should you be handed against that?
It's an interesting theory. It's an interesting way to be able to see what it could actually happen. Now, this was obviously a book, Breaking Down the House. It actually tells the details of the entire MIT team. They decided to do this as an experiment to see if they could actually bring down casinos in Las Vegas. And this movie kind of chronicles that whole story. And I'm actually looking forward to this. I've been trying to be able to find this book. I haven't had success looking for it.
Have you looked on eBay?
I'm not a fan of eBay.
That's because you suck. How can you not love eBay?
I just don't really trust it.
You are a sad, sad little man.
I've had friends that basically got screwed over by eBay. Basically,
83 positive feedback.
I know you do, but the thing is, people would receive, like, they would buy laptops supposedly in the box, and they receive either confetti or they would receive, like, a fake toy of a laptop.
Then they're stupid because they didn't take it to PayPal or eBay buyer protection. Your friends are stupid. I'm sorry. I'm calling them out right now. Your friends are retarded.
No, they did have that. They're kind of going through a lot of legal stuff for it. But anyway, I won't say their names. So.
Stupid! Go on.
Anyway, starring Kevin Spacey. Looking forward to it March 28th. Now, the biggest movie starting up, the summer blockbuster.
Now, don't forget, Steve, you got about 1 minute here. So do you just want to tease it?
Yes. I'm just going to say this. Marvel. Robert Downey Jr.
And the best Super Bowl spot I saw.
Yes, and the man in iron himself, as Ozzy Osbourne would say, I am Iron Man.
Man, I wish I had that song up ready to cue.
I know, that would be awesome, but unfortunately we're on CanCon, so we can't even bring it.
Exactly, yes. This Week in Geek, now with more CanCon. Speaking of that, I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with Steve.
Jod, you almost said Jod again.
The return of Jod. The younger, stupider cousin of Zod.
That's right.
But yes.
The Phil Billy of the Undead.
But yes, we will be back here on This Week in Geek. Here. This is Finger 11. I'm going to have a Timbit. You're listening to This Week in Geek. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. I'm out. I'll be back in a minute. This is Finger 11. Drag you down here on Niagara's New Rock 90.1 FM.
Going out of town for the weekend? We'll take along. Need some time away? We're always there for you. Check us out online where we're streaming live. It's The Heat at broadcasting.niagaracollege.ca. Now you can listen to us around the world.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, a box of chocolates.
Want to heat things up this Valentine's Day? Buy a song for your sweetheart. Choose a song and we'll play it here on The Heat on Valentine's Day with a special dedication to your Valentine from you. The cost is only $3 and all proceeds are donated to the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Songs will be sold in front of the radio station until February 8th. Heat things up this Valentine's Day with The Heat 90.1 FM.
The Knots Roundtable returns for the third period with the best coverage of sports and politics on the
Heat. Of epic violence.
Tell the world your thoughts and opinions on today's current events. Email the show now at tnsrt@hotmail.com.
Top weekly coverage of the Niagara Ice Dogs and the rest of the OHL. Join Rusty Bright and Mike Poirier Fridays, 7 till 8 p.m. only on 90.1 FM.
You know, that song almost should fit on an Iron Man soundtrack.
Which one?
The one just playing now.
Oh, yes, from the Knots Roundtable, and you can join them tonight.
No, I meant the song that we just played.
Oh, you mean Sparkle and Shine by Econoline Crush?
Yes.
A great Canadian band, and I think they just played recently around the area, actually.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
So, moving on with our geek movies that we're looking forward to in 2008, we're obviously going to talk about Iron Man.
Oh, yes.
Coming up on May 2nd. Basically, kind of the time slot that Spider-Man usually takes around the time of year. Iron Man, obviously, is starring Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, weapons designer. He is in Afghanistan to introduce his new missile design to the Air Force until the unit he is traveling with is attacked and Stark is taken hostage. Injured by shrapnel embodied near his heart, his captors order him to assemble a missile for them, giving him access to a workshop. He puts his creativity to use by assembling a bulletproof set of power armor complete with pacemaker and flamethrowers and uses it to free himself, donning the Iron Man.
Wow. Inventive
yes.
guy. No, actually, this movie looks remarkably cool. I've always been a huge fan of the Iron Man character.
Yes.
Robert Downey Jr. does look like Tony Stark to me.
He's almost like the perfect casting for it. Now, obviously, Robert Downey Jr. has had problems in the past. Same with Tony Stark.
That's kind of funny, actually.
Tony Stark, you got to remember, in the comics, he is an alcoholic. So, and the thing is, now, obviously, Iron Man, supposedly they're not going to talk about his alcoholism so much in the first film, but in subsequent sequels, we're going to hear a little more about
it. Now, who is the bad guy in this? Is it the Mandarin?
No, it's actually Ironmonger. Supposedly, that's, I don't know, the Mandarin might be mentioned. There's rumors about that. We don't know. But Jeff Bridges is actually playing Obadiah Stane, which is Ironmonger, Tony Stark's mentor.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see more about that. Now, we also have Terrence Howard playing as Lieutenant Colonel James Rhodey Rhodes. Awesome, awesome. This is that almost perfect casting. And almost pretty much anything you cast this guy in, he's going to be awesome-er. Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury.
Now it's kind of funny. There was a story that I read about, and I'm not sure where I did, that they filmed a scene in the Iron Man movie with Nick Fury to tie into the Hulk movie.
Actually, I'm going to talk about the Hulk movie in just a sec. That definitely ties into Iron Man. Mainly, also, I'll mention that Gwyneth Paltrow is also in as Virginia Pepper Potts, basically Stark's personal secretary.
I still
secretary.
Hate Gwyneth Paltrow. She sucks.
She might do okay in this one. I don't know.
I want to throw her out of the plane that she was in Sky Captain, but anyway, go on.
Well, whatever. That's kind of here nor there. Also, actress Hilary Swank will also have a cameo in the film. Don't know what yet. And Stan Lee will also have a cameo, as he always does.
That's
apparently,
right.
He says he's going to appear
with three blonde women and is mistaken for Hugh Hefner by Tony Stark.
Ah, yes. I remember reading this. I think on ain'titcoolnews.com.
Yep.
That girl has pink hair and her hair is awesome. Just walking by the fishbowl here of Niagara College.
Yep. Now also, Jon Favreau, who is directing this film, is mainly known for producing a lot of practical effects, more so than CGI special effects for movies. So a lot of this has to deal with there actually is an Iron Man suit.
Yeah,
there actually
is a lot of badass.
Exactly.
It looks like the ultimate version.
Yes.
I think.
Yes, that is true. It looks like the ultimate's kind of Civil War-esque kind of Tony Stark Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
And also, sorry about that, folks. Jon Favreau obviously has a lot of mechanical moving parts, does a lot of that stuff, practical effects. He'll do any shot practically as best he can. Also, the thing is, he said Favreau has compared the Mandarin to Sauron in Lord of the Rings, which he says in this actually has a menacing presence rather than a physical antagonist in this movie. So, now speaking of more of this movie, Iron Man, Tony Stark as well as Nick Fury is going to have a cameo supposedly in The Incredible Hulk, which supposedly launches, now I'm going completely out of order as far as our list here, June 13th, and it's starring Edward Norton.
Now, I think this is a much better choice than Eric Bana, the one that was made 2001 with Ang Lee, the guy who directed Brokeback Mountain.
See, Edward Norton, great actor. Not dissing his acting abilities.
You just don't see him as Bruce Banner?
I see him as Bruce Banner to a T. I see him that.
Really?
But as the Hulk? Nah.
It'll be weird to see a CGI Edward Norton Hulk face. Now that you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Fight Club got angry.
What's the first thing about the Hulk? You don't talk about
the Hulk.
But now this is cool because Incredible Hulk obviously is a complete retelling, completely forgetting the Hulk movie that was released by Ang Lee with Eric Bana. It's kind of almost like, forget that even exists. We're making the real one this time.
So it's basically like Evil Dead 2. Ignore the first one.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the cool thing is Liv Tyler is actually Betty Ross. I like Liv Tyler. She's cool. I like that. William Hurt is also the father, General Thaddeus Ross. Mm-hmm. And Tim Roth is Emil Blonsky, the film's villain. The film follows Banner as he flees the pursuit of General Ross and attempts to create a cure to rid himself of the Hulk. However, when Blonsky injects himself with Banner's gamma formula and becomes an even greater monster, Banner must accept his own inner beast and defeat Blonsky.
And he plays the Abomination, right?
Yes, that is true. So now, bringing back the Iron Man to this, supposedly Tony Stark, basically Robert Downey Jr., and Nick Fury, Samuel L. Jackson, is going to have a cameo in this movie, tying in both movies
into the universe, basically.
Yes, exactly, which is kind of cool, because no one has actually done that in a superhero movie before.
Well, I guess, they make reference to mutants in Spider-Man.
They did, but not as a big of an impact as one character from one movie with the same actor appearing in another movie. So this is the first time it's done.
You know what I think would be cool? Say the Hulk was rampaging through New York.
Yeah.
Just to see Spider-Man just go swinging by.
That'd be cool.
I think that would be a nice background nod, personally.
Whether or not they're actually going to portray it in New York, we don't know. But we might, because of the fact that they filmed some in Toronto, which we did get to see.
That's right. We were there with the guy with the scene, which I think we edited into a video, didn't we?
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure if we did or not.
I don't know if we released it. I don't think we did. We never released anything from that day.
Except pictures.
Except pictures.
That's a lot of pictures.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I did. But anyway, do we have time to move on to another movie or no?
You got about a minute.
Well, this could take about a minute. Speed Racer.
Looks cool.
Looks cool.
The Wachowski brothers. Good job, guys.
Car-foo instead of wire-foo this time around.
I can deal with that.
I'm not sure about the story. It's kind of, but we'll see come May 9th when it is released. Obviously, Speed Racer Emil Hirsch is a young man who has a natural racing instincts whose goal is to win the Crucible, a cross-country rally that took the life of his older brother, Rex Racer Scott Porter. Speed is loyal to his family business, run by his parents, Pops, John Goodman, and mom, Susan Sarandon, with Pops responsible for designing the Speed's vehicle, Mach 5.
And you can't forget the monkey.
The monkey.
Chim Chim.
Or Chim Cham. I have no idea what the hell the freaking monkey's called. All I know is that Christina Ricci's in this as well as
She actually looks hot and not scary.
True. We'll see. And Matthew Fox is playing Racer X.
Which, odd casting for that, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to take a break here on This Week in Geek, and we'll be right back. I think I'm going to lead us out with one of my favorite bands. This is Billy Talent, Devil in a Mid... Midnight Mass. We'll be right back. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with Steve Snowball Sailor. We'll be right back on Niagara's New Rock, 90.1 FM.
Hi, where are you?
I'm home, why?
Gosh, you sound like you're right next door. Not on the other side of the country.
I know, I just got ReliaClear. Listen.
Starting at just $14.99 a month, ReliaClear gives you crystal clear service with unlimited calling anywhere in Canada. Switch to ReliaClear today and start saving on your home phone. See ReliaClear.com for details.
Did he just say unlimited calling?
Yep. Hope you're comfortable. This could be a long one.
That's ReliaClear.com. Experience the evolution of communications.
Hey, sports fan, come out and flash those sporting skills at the 9th Annual Sports Fest in Port Colborne on February 15th through to the 18th. This event features all sorts of sporting games and tournaments from snow pitch and snow golf, and also musicals and a sports celebrity dinner with Wendell Clark. Help support over 35 community groups and nonprofit groups during this one unique event. Visit the Port Colborne website at experienceportcolborne.com for all the details. So come on out and show your support and have some fun while you're at it.
Guess we're now men.
That's right. That is DVDA, which I'm not going to tell you what that stands for. And that is from the soundtrack of Orgasmo.
Probably figure that out.
Wicked, wicked, wicked movie. If you haven't seen it, do so. Same guys who gave us South Park.
Oh, so that's why it sounds like them. Okay.
Exactly,
I was like,
yeah.
This sounds like a South Park thing.
It is.
So speaking of men, we're Steve Snowball Sailor. And
I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd.
That was epic.
It was epic.
All right. Yeah. We're going to talk about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Releasing on May 22nd in theaters everywhere.
That's going to be so awesome. I love Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, the best guy to be able to show up in any bad situation and not really do anything.
Exactly. He just gets away by cowardice or by luck.
Yeah, because if you take a look at all the movies, he's basically is good, known for slowing them down.
Yeah, he's a goof.
The thing is, the only time he's ever actually been able to stop anybody is in The Last Crusade.
That's very true, because he kicks the Nazi's ass on the tank, right?
Well, because when they get to the cave,
right.
He's the only one that actually goes in and actually be able to grab the actual
Holy Grail
and uses it and loses it, supposedly. But I think that's the only time that he's ever actually, I don't want to say won a case, but basically solved the mystery and was able to come out of it with him as the victor instead of the Nazis.
Exactly. And Nazis,
because, I mean,
suck.
Technically, in the Ark of the Covenant, everything went downhill. The Nazis were able to use it. He was never able to stop them. And also in the Temple of Doom, same thing. Yeah. So
was it Nazis in the Temple of Doom? I forget. No, it was guys with turbans and really sharp swords.
Yeah, some sort of. Yeah, I never really. It's been a while since I saw it.
Yeah, same here, but.
But yeah, Steven Spielberg is back directing this movie, as well as George Lucas producing.
That's right.
Oh,
and Shia LaBeouf.
Yes, amazingly enough.
Good casting on that, really.
I'd have to say, yeah, this is now set in 1957. This fourth film in the end. Oh, hello, my battery is now dying. Sweet!
Awesome.
In the Indiana Jones film series is intended to evoke a 1950s B-movie rather than a serial pitting the title character against agents of the Soviet Union for the Crystal Skull.
Now, isn't the Crystal Skull actually real? Because I've actually heard things about something like this.
With this, every single Indiana Jones movie, the premise, or at least the item in question,
has a basis in reality.
Has a basis in reality. Obviously, the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Grail, and I think, what was the thing in the Temple of Doom?
Something I don't know.
I think it was an idol.
Yeah, right? An idol, and they pulled people's hearts out of their chests.
I think it was like an idol in the Andes or like some sort of Inca ancient thing. Anyway, so obviously Harrison Ford back as an older Indiana Jones.
Yep.
And he's supposedly 64.
Wow.
Yeah.
Indy's getting old.
Supposedly, though, he had to spend 3 hours a day at a gym and relied on a high-protein diet in order to be able to fish and vegetables in order to be able to get into this role.
Wow.
Yeah.
Han Solo got old.
Yeah, and according to Ford, he actually said when he was asked about his age, he says, it's not the years, it's the mileage.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'll see how good he is come this year on May 22nd.
I'm optimistic.
I've been looking forward to a new Indiana Jones movie for so long, seeing what he would actually be able to do post-World War II era. And we'll see coming up. Now, obviously, we talked about The Incredible Hulk, June 13th. Now, also, the next movie...
You got about, say, 2 minutes, Steve, at most.
2 minutes. Okay, we'll kind of talk, obviously, Dark Knight. We've talked lots about it before. Great movie. Looking forward to it. Batman versus the Joker.
It'll be epic because it's set in the new David Goyer universe, more or less.
Yes, and Christian Bale is obviously Batman. Obviously, the main cast returns, except for Maggie Gyllenhaal, who is now Rachel Dawson, and Heath Ledger as the Joker, and Aaron Eckhart as Harvey Dent, a.k.a. soon to be
Two-Face.
So, we'll definitely look forward to that July 18th. Now, the 007 new movie, Quantum of Solace.
What a stupid name.
It's an interesting name.
It's stupid.
Interesting. It's a thinker's title.
It sounds like something out of Tom Swift.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But it releases on November 7th, so there's not a whole lot of information at least about that. But
although the one sheet was released yesterday.
That's true, which looks good.
Yeah, that actually looks pretty badass.
All it is looks like a
him holding an AK.
Him holding an AK, well, at least the shadow of him holding an AK. And it's on like a desert kind of sand ground thingy. And it just basically says 007, November 7th. That's all it says, which is kind of cool.
I think Daniel Craig makes a great Bond. I really do.
He does, and it's supposed
worthy
to take place...
Worthy successor to Pierce Brosnan.
Supposed to take place right after the events of Casino Royale. So we'll
like an hour or something like that.
Yeah, an hour like that. Now, obviously, that's kind of... We'll look forward to seeing that November 7th. Next up, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, November 21st. The fifth, obviously, of the movies of the Harry Potter series.
Six now.
Oh, six, right. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. Obviously, I can only I only watch the movies.
But you know what, Steve? Books. We're out of time.
Oh, that sucks, because I really wanted to talk about Star Trek. But we'll maybe save that for another time.
Or maybe we'll do a roundtable on it. We haven't done a true Star Trek roundtable.
That is true. We'll definitely do that, because I really love the fact what they're going to do with Star Trek, obviously releasing December 25th. Check that out. Christmas Day. I'm going to be there probably opening day. Yeah, that's how much
I'll be playing Xbox. That's what I do.
Diehard Trek fan I am. So anyway, my computer has officially died. I am...
out of time.
I am out of time. I need more time.
Oh, yes. Eric Reinhardt of Juicebox Explosion, Wednesday nights. Jukebox. Sorry, not Juicebox. I'm sorry. Anyway, for This Week in Geek, we have been...
Steve Snowball Sailor.
I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. Thank you for 1 year, Twig listeners.
Reminding you also that this episode is obviously brought to you by ReliClear. Experience the evolution of communication.
Anyway, live free, die hard. We'll be back next week with a much more contained episode.
Probably. Right.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Wanna
see me make bubbles with my spit? Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
Capitalism! Freaking capitalism!
Where's our cut?
The Birdman has lost his mind. Stay tuned next week when he evidently doesn't find it again.
See, the moose are extinct. We shot the last one. That's all urban legend.
Stay tuned next week for Electric Boogaloo. Coming up next...
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week when you hear Mike say...
And don't forget to spay or neuter your pet, noob.
So make sure to tune in next week on 90.1 FM, The Heat, Niagara's new rock. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment about this week's episode, head to our forums at thisweekingeek.net/forums. We'll see you next week, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi! So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.